This is Grown Up and Grounded,
a podcast where two women,
a mother and a daughter,
talk about everything.
On today's episode, we discuss unconditional love. How do you define it? What do we think it means? And is it even possible? Check it out.
Hey, Mom, how's it going?
Hey, Kate, I'm doing all right.
Oh, good. It's weird not being with you.
I feel like it's weird too, to be honest. The other day I was thinking like we had a pretty good routine. I feel like as much as I didn't get done, I felt like I got more done when you were here because I would like sequester my time. When Dad's home, it's very hard to get stuff done and he's only working half a day. So,
And you're working for 4 hours a week or something?
Right now, but we're assuming that California shelter in place is going to end. And so that we'll be working full hours, I think.
You are assuming that?
Yeah, I am assuming that actually. I mean, I think my boss is assuming that. I don't know. Or maybe it's a conundrum for my office because we're medical technically. So we could work whatever hours we want. It's just how many people want to come in and see a chiropractor. So it's a delicate balance at this point. And it does kind of depend on the shelter in place.
Of course. I don't see it ending. That seems to not be the way we're leaning at all, actually.
Well, I don't think it's going to hardcore end, but I think they're going to loosen some of the restrictions. I guess I should clarify.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't see that happening anytime soon for our state.
Really?
I think we're still at least a month away from that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel the pressure is on. Like, I feel like there are projects that I was like, oh, I'm going to get so much done that I haven't got done. So I like have been trying to get it done. And then Dad was like, oh, I'm only going to be working half days. Like,
yeah, I mean, I feel like, I mean, I'm back at work now.
Yeah.
I'm back to working my, 40 hours a week, which, as you can tell from the yawn, is a little bit of an adjustment for me. I've been up since 4:30. Because I worked this morning and that's hard. That's real hard to get back into, to just like hit the ground running. And I got to set an example for my team and I just like want to go back to sleep. It's bad. But before I went back to work, I feel like I got everything that was on my to-do list done. I mean, I was actually, after I left your house and came back here, I was extremely productive. And that included my time to play Animal Crossing.
Wow. I
know.
I think my problem is if I wrote down all the things I've gotten done, I have gotten a lot done, but I have a lot of lag time where I'm just sitting in front of the TV and that seems to be where my focus is. Like the things that I haven't gotten done versus looking at, this is one of the things my coach was talking about. Like you have gotten a lot done. Like it's like my focus is on what I'm not getting done. So I need to
shift. Change that mentality, girl.
I got to change that mentality. But when I knew, okay, well, my boss wants to go back to almost full hours starting May 4th. So then I felt like pressure, like, okay. And then this week I really haven't gotten too much done, but, So I feel a little pressure about that and like getting back to not having a lot of time. And it's quite a fantasy. I don't know. So,
yeah, well, it's funny. I know that I tried your edibles that you have, that one time. And then me and Sean ordered a bunch of new edibles and I took two and I got like so high, like so high. It was weird. Like usually I can hold my own a little bit better. I don't know. I was very like maybe because I took the ones that like make you like energetic as opposed to sleepy, but I was like, poof.
So what are they putting in those that make you energetic versus sleepy?
I mean, it's different types of pot.
Oh, I thought it was different combinations. Cause I thought pot, no matter what, is going to make you.
I mean, it mellows you out, but there's like sleepy versus like sleepy isn't the same thing as like mellow,
Right. But I think there's a, also an additive that gives you energy in it.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked much into the science of making edibles.
I think when I just consume it. At them. I think when I was looking at them, that's kind of what I found. It's weird though. Cause you know, I have this inflammatory thing. That's why I have the edibles in case anybody's wondering, but,
or you just like to have a good time. Jeez.
I can, especially now that I'm not eating as healthy cause I've been home that whole, but I can totally feel when, cause it's like this one area on my left side that gets inflamed or is always inflamed, but sometimes worse than others. And I can totally feel it. Like I can, it's very interesting to me to realize that like, depending on what I eat, and I haven't, I mean, I've been kind of keeping track, like there's not anything necessarily specific that inflames it, but when it gets that way, I can just feel it. Like, almost like there's, I don't know, like almost like there's something inside of me that's like putting pressure on things. And then it's also hot, but it's not.
Is it cancer? Is it cancer that's inside of you?
No, it's not. But cause it's not like the inflammatory, like when you have injured yourself or anything like that. I mean, except for the heat, like the feeling of it isn't the same. So it's just, I don't know how to explain it, but it's weird to me that I can just feel it in like one certain spot. It's not like whole body inflammation from head to toe. It's like an internal, it's very, I don't know. Anyways.
Very weird. Yeah.
It is weird. It's very weird.
Don't love that.
I don't love it either, but there's not too much I can do, but I do have some anti-inflammatories that I can take like CBD. So
there you go. What more could you need?
Speaking of which, yeah, I need to go drive and get some more. I think I'm going to be out soon.
Yeah. It's time. Pick them up. We tried to get some delivered for 420, which, you know, just passed. And the surge pricing. Holy shit. The surge pricing was like ridiculous. Which I mean, I should have predicted, but still thought somehow I would be exempt. I don't know. Or thought I waited long enough. I don't know. I don't know what I thought, but yeah, we had to, we did not get them, in time for 420 because the cost of delivery was just like insane. So,
so when
we
you
had
say
to wait to party until after
surge pricing, are you talking about like a local place, like someone like Instacart or whatever, something like that? Or are you talking about like ordering it to be shipped like 3 days
ordering
in advance
to be, no, like ordering it to be delivered to the house, like Ease,
from,
using Ease
from like a, but from like a local place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was wondering, if the, the local place by me, there aren't any in my city cause my city won't allow it. But
ridiculous.
If they deliver, they're very strict here. Speaking of that, there were some people driving around today when I was out with the whole like in shelter in place and stuff written on their windows, honking their horns. And I just thought that's a really good way to get like in a fight with someone, to be like in a parking lot with your, cause it's, I mean, it's not a big group like you see on TV, the protesters. It was like maybe four cars, maybe two people in each car. Like, that's a pretty, you know, that could end up volatile.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they should just take their president's advice and inject inject some cleaning supplies into their veins. I think that that is, if that's what he says, I mean, it's got to be true, right? So let's just do it. Let's just find out what happens. But well, they should test it.
Volunteer, do you think?
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting for the people that are in the state of California that are very, like, I get that some people don't have choices because this is where their job is. But, like, if you hate it that much, then maybe you should go. I don't know. Just, like, if you hate a liberal state, why do you live in one? Like, why are you not actively? Yeah. And I do, I mean, I'm not dumb. I do understand that there are a multitude of reasons why you wouldn't, but at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Like, you live in a liberal state. So if it really bothers you that much, you might want to just change with your vote and stop complaining, because you knew what you got when you had to move here, or move out. Because I feel like that's the attitude we get, or people who, I don't know. Anyways, I didn't want to get political. I mean, I did want, obviously that topic made me political, but I just think I always find it so funny because I see people complaining all the time about it. And I'm just like, calm down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that it doesn't help, one, the exact area that you live in, two, some of the people that you have known from before. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, because I don't really see it, but you see it.
Yeah.
You know, different circles and stuff.
And stuff, for sure.
Yeah. Well, anyways, aside from that brief glimpse into quarantine life, I was hoping that today we could talk about something not COVID-19 related. Talk about the idea of unconditional love, which you and I have sort of maybe briefly touched up against in the past, but not really gotten into it. So I figured we should elaborate on some of the things we might have alluded to in the past.
Okay. So what do you, well, I guess we should start with a definition. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think unconditional love is?
I don't think we should start with me, because my controversial take is going to be the main topic of the episode. So, maybe you should read like the actual, like, I'm sure that there's a definition, right?
Let's see. I have an article in front of me.
Open up a new tab then, girl.
I am.
I don't have a computer.
So Wikipedia says unconditional love is known as affection without any limitations, or love without conditions.
It's a pretty apt way to describe it, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. What is unconditional love? Unconditional love means that you love someone regardless of circumstance, but not regardless of how they treat you.
See, I feel like that's where, and that right there, that difference between those two things you read is sort of what I wanted to talk about. So people throw around the idea of unconditional love as like this concept of, like, I will love you no matter what, no matter what, just period, end of sentence. Like, the love that I have for you knows no bounds and has no limitations, and anything that happens, you know, whatever. And I don't think, one, I don't think that unconditional love really exists. And two, if it does for someone, I don't think that it should, because that idea that I just described of unconditional love, not a good thing, not healthy, and not realistic. I think that's setting yourself up for unhappiness. And that kind of shows the difference in the two things that you just read, because the second one, unconditional love means, you know, loving someone regardless of situation, but not regardless of how they treat you. That's not really what people mean when they say unconditional love, because otherwise it wouldn't say unconditional. That literally means no conditions.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do you feel like your perspective is controversial?
I don't know. I just feel like people talk about unconditional love and I say, well, I don't think that that's a real thing. And they look at me like I'm crazy or like negative, or I don't know, anti-love. And I'm not any of those things. I'm the opposite of all of those things. Like, I'm obsessed with the idea of love and romance, but I just think that trying to say I love you no matter what, I mean, how is you, in order for love to be real and good and deep, you need to have conditions on it. Like, I'm not going to look at someone and say I love you no matter what without an asterisk. Like, you could go kill a bunch of babies, and you know what? I would still love you. No, I wouldn't. You would have done something now that jeopardized that, right? Like, you ruined that.
Right. So, okay. Well, before I get into my perspective of the the whole thing, I have one more question for you. And that is,
yeah,
when people around you or these people that you're referencing talking about unconditional love, mm-hmm. who is that? Who has used that term around you? Like, is it friends? Is it men that you know well or don't know? You know, like, how would you categorize where this is coming up?
Just curious. I don't know.
If there's a pattern in that.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it.
So there's a couple of things that I think of. So first and foremost, the only kind of unconditional love that I think really is out there, and even then it's sort of, because I agree with you. I think that everything sort of has an expectation of a certain, like, I love you unconditionally, but like, I need to be treated in this way. So I think parental love is what people think about when they talk about unconditional love, like a mother or a father to their child. Mm-hmm. But even that, I can understand, like, so like, let's say I had a child and they turned out to be a horrible, horrible person, or they did something horrible. Because they're your child, most, not all parents, because obviously, because it's unconditional love, but, and because personalities, whatever, but like for the most part, I would still love them, but I would also be able to see their flaws. But that's the kind of parent I am in general. So I think a lot of the idea of unconditional love also comes to how you process your love for someone else. But I think even in parenting, it's fairly obvious that you respond to your children in, mm-hmm. in different ways, depending on how they respond to you. Like, you know, a child that's loving back to you, you're going to extend more love to them than one that, say, doesn't want your love or affection. You know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of mm-hmm. how that's going to play out. I think a lot of the unconditional love people who are saying it or wanting it are narcissists. Like, they want you to love them no matter what they do.
I mean, I feel as though that's definitely true. I think that you get that a lot, you know, with people who are all about themselves, just because it's an easy way to seem so romantic while still actually being extremely narcissistic. I think that you're right about that.
'Cause it's basically like, love me no matter how I treat you, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what they mean. It's obviously not what they say, but that's what they mean.
Well, I mean, I don't think,
again, this isn't my opinion.
Narcissists realize it. Yeah.
I just want you to know, just as a quick side note, my cat just came back inside from outside and she is covered in dirt. Like,
like she rolled in it.
She rolled hard. Like, she's usually all black and she looks all brown right now. I mean, like, straight up brown. It's insane. I have never seen her that dirty in my life. So sorry about that. It's okay. Very distracting.
Luna does that too. But one of the things that I found, like, as I said, I had an article up, is this article in Psychology Today, posted January 2nd, is Unconditional Love Really Possible, by John Amodio, PhD, MFT. He says, the idea of unconditional love is a noble one. We want to be loved as we are. Perhaps we'd like to see ourselves as capable of selfless love. Unfortunately, loving unconditionally may set us up for disappointment and shame when our ideal doesn't match the reality of how difficult or perhaps impossible it is to love unconditionally. And I think the shame is really key, because that's what people will kind of take advantage of. Like, they'll play on that. Like, if you really loved me, it wouldn't matter that I did this.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I guess maybe that's my issue with the expression unconditional love, is it's like created almost this like idea or this
romanticized.
Yeah, that's the proper verbiage there. It's romanticized the idea of this act of this love or relationship or whatever that's actually very unhealthy.
Right. It does further on, it says, for better or worse, mature love can only thrive under certain conditions.
Oh man, I just said that earlier and I didn't even know that it said that. So go me.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's true. Like you need to have some sort of limitation or boundary up, right? Like, you know, I know you love Dad and you've loved him a lot for 30 years that you guys have been together. But you know, if he killed your mom, like, do you think that that would be a reasonable expectation? Or even like, let's not get that, you know, that outlandish. Like you've said before, and like, even when I was like a young adult, but like saying, oh yeah, if Dad cheated on me, like I'd leave. Like there's, it doesn't matter that we've been married for 30 years. There's no like, oh, well let's talk about it. Like, no, you betrayed it. Now I leave. You betrayed that trust and that love and ruined that history. So now I go. And I think that that's, I think that's important.
Well, I think that's what's tied in. It's not like I wouldn't still love him, but I have a standard and a self-respect that, or maybe it's not even just self-respect, but like a thing that like, this is a, the thing that we, you know, mutually agreed upon and have discussed at length. And you threw it out the window. So you basically told me that this relationship doesn't matter. And I'm going to, you showed me what you, you know, your actions speak louder than words. And I know now how you feel and I'm out. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of in a nutshell how, you know, like, but it wouldn't mean that I didn't still love him. I guess that's the thing. Like, but I can say, I'm not going to tolerate this in our relationship.
But would you still love him though? I mean, like maybe you'd love who he was.
I think I would still love him because there, I mean, my assumption would be, this is all hypothetical. So, but my assumption would be there might be a part of me that would understand why he did it or, would make excuses or have an understanding. I don't know. Any one of those situations.
So like, right? I could like, we could craft a bunch of scenarios about how did he end up sleeping with this person? But like it, because I'm sure that that would make a difference, right? Of course, all completely hypothetical, not going to happen. But yeah, I guess you're right. It all depends. I feel like it's difficult for me to understand that idea too of like, well, I would still love them. Like, I don't think I would. I think that I mean, I might for a little while, but I'd get over it. Like, I would make sure that that went away because they hurt me and I don't feel the need to hold on to that. But
that's how, I mean, that's kind of
30 years. So
yeah, but that's how love is too, right? You love requires nurturing and a lot of work, just like anything else that you really care about. So if you walk away from the relationship because they hurt you, then you're no longer going to nurture it. So eventually it would go away.
Yeah.
Like they'd have a place in your heart, right? Especially with in the example you've given, like we've raised children together. We spent, you know, 30 years of our life together. So here's where we stand, but yeah, eventually that would die down and we would just have an understanding of one another. Mm-hmm. But I think it also shows how closely tied it is to empathy. And, that's kind of why I was saying personality. Like I'm not a real angry person. I definitely would be mad in the beginning. Right. But I don't hold on to anger. I tend to be a more empathetic person. And I think even with your children, like you tend to have more empathy with your children because you know their personalities. So that way you could love them a little more unconditionally than you can other people because you understand the intricacies of how they're raised and their personalities and how they love and how they hurt and all those different things that you understand about your own children. So it makes you easier to love them. It makes it easier to love them unconditionally.
Yeah.
So I guess just like any other psychological thing, it's just not a black and white.
Yeah.
It's tied.
I guess that's true. Nothing ever is, is it?
I know. I think it's crazy when people like to make everything so black and white.
Yeah. I mean, I think that makes the world easier when it is. Like it's so much easier to digest. Oh, kitty. She's like laying down on my bed covered in her filth and I just, there's nothing I can do about it. It just is what it is.
Yes, I know. It's true.
I guess the only relationship that I could think of where I love unconditionally, completely without any conditions, is the way I feel about my cat. Because, like, what evil thing could she possibly... There's nothing she could do that would, like... of course I love her unconditionally.
But she's just a cat. She's not capable of doing... She's not capable of doing something that could really break your heart. Unless she loved someone more than she loved you.
Well, that's a little bit of a sore subject right now.
I know that.
But, I mean, no, like... Exactly. She gets unconditional love because there are no conditions that she could meet, like, you know, I guess being something of less intelligence means that there's no conceivable thing she could do that would mean, there's nothing she could do that would take away that love.
Yeah.
Because she's a cat. Exactly. So the closest humans will ever come to true unconditional love is the way we feel about our pets. That's the answer to that.
And the closest that we can have unconditional love back at us is our pets, for the most part.
Very true.
I mean, cats are a little less loving, but dogs are, you know, it's just a prime example of how many dogs get rescued.
I don't like that expression. I don't think that cats are less loving. They just love in a different way. And that means that it's a little bit of a learning curve for us to figure out what exactly that means, because, like, I know my cat loves me as much as any dog has ever loved me, maybe even more.
But your cat is not going to put up with as much and love you back as a dog does.
I don't know if that's true.
I think if you were not, if you were abusive to your cat would probably find somewhere else to go or just, like, get its food from you and then not really draw near to you. Whereas dogs want to please so bad that they do that. And cats don't really want to please you.
I think
it depends on the cat. I've had cats that could care less.
I don't know. This is a conversation for, that's a conversation for another day.
You just don't want to even think about your cat not loving you unconditionally. I'm not saying it's not, your cat isn't. I think cats are
my
just
cat
so much less,
definitely
more
does.
Independent.
And maybe that's why I'm biased, because my cat is very different. And also I have raised her since she was born. So I'm the only parent she knows. So I don't even know if she realizes she has the ability to go somewhere else. Like, I am the person who's been there since she opened her eyes. I don't know if that thought would even cross her mind to, like, just leave, you know, like, I don't like this
anymore.
I mean,
she could have lived here
happily
and contently for a long time. Dad was pretty much buttering up with food. I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah, she got very fat. And also, but let's remember what it was like every time I came to visit for the, you know, whatever 5 months she lived there. Like, she was so happy to have me back.
True.
She wouldn't let me go.
Yeah, but you're loving in return. I'm just saying maybe she wouldn't if you weren't super
maybe
loving back.
Good thing we'll never have to find out, because I will always be very, very loving and sweet with her.
Yes.
Even when she lays down on my bed covered in dirt.
Yeah. I do want to say that there are some interesting subjects to this article. And so I'm just going to tell you real quick how it breaks it down. So the title is, mm-hmm. Is Unconditional Love Really Possible? And there's a couple paragraphs, and then there's honoring boundaries. And, you know, it says, the first sentence is, loving doesn't mean always supplying what another person wants, being tirelessly accepting and having no needs of our own. And I believe that's also where the mature. And then the next topic is dancing with fire. Love requires an expansive and spacious presence. It cannot flourish if we ignore or minimize our partner's needs, but neither can it thrive if we deny our own desires, which can create resentment. And then self-honesty is the next topic that has a couple paragraphs under, and it says, love cannot thrive without courageous self-awareness and rigorous self-honesty. Boom. Healthy relationships.
That's very nicely worded.
Yeah. Healthy relationships require knowing our feelings, our limits, and our motivations. And then the next one is mutual loving. And it kind of gives some bullet points as to what that means. And it says it may be unwise and impossible to love unconditionally in the sense of staying with a partner, no matter how poorly they treat us or how destructive it is for us. But if we define unconditional love as follows, I'm all in, although I prefer the less grandiose term mature love as defined in the authentic heart.
Yeah, maybe mature love is a better expression that I will start to personally adopt because like I said, I think that using the expression unconditional love just sort of there's like this following with it that I don't agree with that so it's not an expression that I choose to support.
The final paragraph does say unconditional love can set us up for something unattainable. We have a need not only to love, but also to be loved. Rather than pursuing an unrealistic ideal, we can pursue a path that enables us to be attentive to others while also being responsive to our own legitimate longings.
That's nice
too. It gives some bullet points of to what a mature love means. And it's all of them, but one start with we are this or we this. So
that's nice.
It's a good article. Yeah.
We should link that up.
I will for sure.
Where are we going to put it?
I will put it in the notes of the, in the definition of our podcast. The description of our podcast episode. And fantastic. I will link. Yeah, that's where I'll put it because it's our new website. I don't have to do it separately. So, yeah.
Great. We should post it on Facebook too.
I will. Do all that.
Fantastic. Good.
But yeah.
Seems like it worded what I was trying to say much more intelligently.
Yeah, this John Amodeo is pretty cool.
Yeah. Go you, dude.
For sure.
With him.
I didn't even realize this, but on Psychology Today's website, at the very top, so it has like their banner of Psychology Today and different buttons for the website. But then right under that is find a therapist with a zip code search that you could put in. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I thought because Psychology Today really is a magazine. So, that's what I think of. I guess it's also this website.
Sounds like they're trying to check all the boxes and reach as many people as possible. So that's awesome.
That is good. Yeah.
Mental health is important.
It is. I like it. And it has a get help button and it lists a whole bunch of different topics that you can find resources on. So that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I have a lot of good stuff already on COVID-19.
Yeah. I'll definitely have to share some of that. All right.
Shish, yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right, so you're back to normal. I might be back to normal in 2 weeks. Well, not normal, but back to my regular work schedule.
The new normal is what I've been calling it at work.
Yes, the new normal. How long do you think it'll be before you guys open up your place? Like, have they given you ideas? Like when you do open up, we're going to change the seating arrangements.
Everything that they're saying is if we open back up, there is no guarantee of anything anymore. So nope. I don't know.
So what do you think is going to be the biggest difference like in the world, like, or in the Americas?
In America, nothing.
No, things will be different. Like movie theaters. Like, what are they going to do? Like, are we never going to go back to the movies? Is it all going to be online now? Like, is it going to be 8 months and then we will go back? Or when we do go back, they'll have like different setup for different numbers of people?
I think it honestly depends if we get a virus or if we get a vaccine or not.
Oh, we'll have a vaccine. For sure we're going to have a vaccine. Someone's going to make money. It could be sugar water inside the vaccine, but we will have a vaccine.
Okay, it depends if we have an effective vaccine or not.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if we develop a herd immunity, won't they just say, oh, the vaccine's working great? I don't know. I've gotten to be more of a skeptic than I am.
Sounding close to an anti-vaxxer now, and I don't like it.
No, but I mean, you and I both know that someone's going to make money off of this somehow, and it's probably going to be...
I think you're forgetting that this is a world virus, and not all countries allow for-profit medical the way that America does. So I don't really think that it's going to work out the way that you think it's going to work out.
Right. But when it is brought here, whatever company brings it here is going to, no matter what, like all of our drugs here cost way more money. Have you ever seen that? I don't know what I was watching the other day. They were like interviewing people on the street, asking them how in England, asking them how much they thought different medicines cost in America.
No. And I don't want to, because it sounds depressing. In fact, I don't even know why we're on this topic right now. We're not supposed to be talking about this.
Anyway, I was completely fascinated by it.
I don't really want to talk about this. Like, do you know how many annoying customers come up and are like, how are you feeling? What are you thinking? Like, first of all, I've never met you. Like, you are not a regular customer that I can just talk to. Second of all, I'm wearing a Starbucks apron. Do you think we're going to have like a real conversation right now? Like, what answer are you thinking you're going to get?
Well, plus you don't know. It could be a reporter that's going to be like, those people at Starbucks don't want to be at work because they're all looking for that.
Which is just wholly untrue. I mean, the company has paid everyone to stay home for a month and 2 months even for some stores. And anyone who still didn't feel comfortable working, they gave us plenty of options for what to do if we didn't want to return with and still keep our job. So
I know it's what's fascinating to me is that they don't get any recognition for what a great employer there are, especially when there are so many out there that are not doing all that they're doing. Like, they've really gone above and beyond.
It's amazing. It's genuinely amazing that they've done so much. Like, the fact that I got paid my entire salary to not work for a month is crazy.
I mean, but technically you were still working. They had stuff for you to do, just FYI. Like, don't make it sound like you were just, but it was a very small fraction of the normal amount of time that you would.
It's true. I was spending maybe at the most 10 hours a week of work, like at the high end.
Right.
And I was getting paid for 40.
Right.
Plus they paid out all of our bonuses early so that if we were relying on that money, we wouldn't need to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of privy to some of those phone calls and I was just amazed at the things that they were doing. And, you know, the underlying theme was always whatever your people feel safe doing. Like, that was the underlying theme. So it's just really impressive.
I mean, they talk a lot about being a people company that serves coffee. And when it kind of came down to it, they weren't just talking. They really walked the walk. And I will be forever grateful that I was fortunate enough to work with such a great company, because even seeing, you know, what other people have had to go through, I feel very fortunate every day.
I think that's what is sort of mind-boggling, that all of these business blogs or, you know, entrepreneur things kind of miss sometimes. It's like what you just said, that you'll be forever grateful. Like, it makes you, when a company takes care of you, it makes you willing to do extra things and to stay longer and to give more of yourself when you know that they treat you properly. And it just like seemed like that is just so missed in modern business, the way that businesses function, and feel like the dollar is the bottom line instead of the people.
Yep.
Because ultimately,
you know why? Because
the people.
Capitalism brings that.
Oh, wait, there. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. You know,
I was just talking more
over here.
I was more talking in just reference of just basic, any sort of business quote thing that you like watch, like it's always about the ways to improve your bottom line. One of the biggest ways you can improve your bottom line is to treat the people who work for you well, because you will have less turnover, and those that will recommend better, higher quality people. Like, I would never recommend someone to work for a company that, you know, that I didn't think was going to treat them well.
It's true. But I mean, a lot of corporations get so, and by that I mean like 99% of them get focused on just what Wall Street's telling them that they need to meet. And when that's the only thing that you focus on, you cut costs. And usually that means you don't take care of your people, you know, because that does cost money. Like, upfront it costs money. Yeah. In the long term, it saves you money, but it's hard to justify that long term to, you know, Wall Street.
Right. But I guess I'm just saying it's just a little surprised. I mean, I'm sure there are some out there, but some of the stuff that I've seen, having been a business owner in the past, and even as I look through things like for our podcast, like, even though we're not a business, like, some of the stuff I look at is business related. That's not a big thing that's touted out there. It's like ways to earn money, ways to do that. Like, it's not, you know, the secret to any company is the employees that work for you.
Take care of your people. Yeah. I'd have to agree, especially after all this.
And the thing is, like, especially when it comes to like the corporate, when you have CEOs and stuff, like, they only need, technically, they could live off you're in a business to make money, but there's a point to where it gets to be excessive, and then you really are just cutting. Like, I worked for a big corporation once, and not once, but I've worked for several, but they would do this thing where they would have people come in and analyze, like, ways to save money. Mm-hmm. And they would make decisions like, well, you have two people doing this job, so just let one of them go, and then one person can do both of it. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, that may be a great cost-saving thing, but the fact of the matter is it's still too much work for one person, and you're not giving that person more money. Like, it just, like, those kind of things, it's always just mind-boggling to me that you're like, and then even one of the things, like, we were a phone bank and places would call in. So they were touting around doing that thing where they time your phone calls, and then they rate each employee, like, based on how quickly they can get through the phone calls. Mm. Just like, if customer service is your thing, you can't do that, because you can have one phone call that's going to stress you out and throw off all your numbers, like, say, for a quote a day or however long they're averaging out your things. So you don't give us as great of customer service, because you're worried about the time that's ticking right there as you're talking to them, trying to help them with their needs.
It's all counterintuitive. But that's what happens in, like, capitalism. So anyways,
well, I can understand some of it, but
on that note,
it's so hard to avoid politics when you're talking about anything.
When you're woke, that's true.
Gosh, we've talked about this before. Being woke is just so much work. It's exhausting.
The amount of things that I've been able, that have completely lost their enjoyment to me is just like, ugh.
I know. But, yeah. I guess that's why it's so easier for some people to just look the other way. Because it's exhausting.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well.
So now I'm going to go to bed.
And then we should talk about, we came up, one of our meetings this year, we decided to have a set schedule for our seasons, and technically this will be our last episode for the season, unless we have one more and then are off for May and June.
Yeah.
Because we're doing 4 months on, 2 months off.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That is right.
So yeah. Season O. 3 seasons in, 2 years later, we're doing well.
Yeah. Still kicking anyways.
Yeah. So our goal is going to be try to get some of our listeners to email us some topics or questions over the next 2 months.
Yeah. Let's get some engagement here, folks. Come on.
Yeah. So, and we still have to talk about the things my friend Michelle, she had some questions.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, that's how we can start the next season.
We will. Okay. I'll make sure I make note of what she asked, and then we will get it going.
That'll be a fun start.
It will. It will for sure.
All right.
And on that note, it's been a good one. Love ya. Love your show.
Love you too.
If you like Grown Up and Grounded, please leave us a review on whatever platform you're using. This will help other people find our podcast. As always, we want to give a big shout out to Dave Depper, who provides the music we use in our episodes. The song you're listening to is titled Can Can 2, and we got it from the Free Music Archive. You can check out Dave at davedepper.com.
What's happening?
Nothing on my end. What do you mean?
Skype is beeping at me. Today is your day.
It is.